Well, we're going to go from a song title to a movie title today. Sunday morning, 1:21-24, we're Facing the Giants. It's the title today, Facing the Giants. We all know about the movie. It was a great movie. Had a great ending. I want to start out this morning by quoting Lieutenant Colonel Ricardo Bossi. I wrote this down. He said, "You must win before you fight." That means mental preparation. It's cliche to say, "I'm healed, I'm well, I'm prosperous." You know, it's just kind of the faith rosary, if you will. And I don't know how many actually walk in that or actually have seen the benefit of it, but it is kind of cliche. But when push comes to shove, we really believe it. Do we really believe it? We say it, but do we really believe it? Is this just a mantra that we say because we've been told to, taught to? Or is it inspired by the Holy Spirit? We're kind of in the same mode as we were in the prophet's corner about learning to walk in the Spirit and stay out of the flesh. Okay. If you believe it, then why do you hide from the giant instead of confronting him? You're all doing it. We all have done it. Period. We hide from the giant. We accommodate the giant. Here's what it means to accommodate: to bring into agreement or accord. Something comes against you, you accommodate it instead of stand and look at it face to face in the eye and say, "No way." Now, you've all got your list, and I'm not asking for those today. I have my own that I have to deal with. I've had the Lord repeatedly tell me these things. "Well, you're accommodating the giant again." What's the giant? The evil report, the symptom, the lie, whatever you want to call it today. Are we facing the giant or are we accommodating the giant? "Well, if I just don't do this anymore, it'll go away, it'll be fine." But it comes anyway. Or maybe if I eat this or quit eating that, it'll be better. And it isn't. I mean, there's a lot of things you could put in there. That's just a couple I've thought of. To hide is fear's corresponding action. When we don't face the giant, what did the Israelites do when the giant came out and terrorized them for that month? They ran for the foxhole. That's all these excuses. Instead of facing who it really is and what they've come to do. We make up excuses to get us by because it's uncomfortable. It's kind of like the dog to the vomit. We go back to our old ways. We try to avoid the giant. Well, David didn't slay the giant by avoiding him. He go, "Oh, heck no." He started speaking his faith, didn't he? We're going to read about him here in a minute. All right. What did the Israelites see? Just what their ancestors saw in the desert. "We be not able. We be as grasshoppers in their sight." What did David see? He saw a dead lion and a dead bear. And this joker, would be just like them. What did he do? You could say he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death and he just went, phew. That's what he did. According to their perception, they were already defeated. That's what called the shots for them was their perception in both cases. David saw victory, they saw defeat. And they reacted. David acted, they reacted. The enemy knows that he is already a defeated foe, but fear masks the truth of this fact. Fear tactics. I mean, I would think somebody that was 9 to 11 foot tall, or however you do the cubic, be pretty intimidating to a, 17-year-old boy? Yeah, to anybody. How do you confront the giant? Ignore, shake, like Paul did? How do we do that? We have to learn to speak the word in the face of the enemy instead of accommodating him, instead of running for the foxhole. Or maybe in some cases running for the medicine cabinet. You know, it doesn't matter what crutch you have, they're crutches indeed. Faith is not a crutch. Well, it is a crutch, but it's a good one. It's one that'll at least work for you. All right, we're going to look at God's Word. We're going to look at this story. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17. Speaking the Word is the outcome of our faith. Y'all know the story, but we're going to go around the mountain one more time here. Buzz the tower, if you will. Maverick says it's time to buzz the tower. The Lord's a maverick. All right. Moreover, wait a minute. I'm in 2. We're not going to get to that story there. It's 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah and in Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. Excuse me, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israel and stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistines said unto the armies of Israel this day, Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So the giant shows up spouting his malarkey, and everybody gets dismayed and afraid. What does that cause you to do? React. Doesn't feel good. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next Abinadab, and third Shammah. You know, speaking of what I was speaking about earlier, about if someone doesn't recognize you, so what? God does. Because think about Samuel. When he was going to pray for the firstborn, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. And God said, I haven't chosen him. Here comes the other one. Surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. He said, I haven't chosen him either. This went on to all his sons. He said, do you have anybody left? Yeah, we got a little brother out there. He smells like sheep. He stinks. We didn't want him to come because he smells so bad. He said, we will not eat till he comes. And the Lord said, when he showed up, behold, the Lord's anointed stands before you. See, Samuel didn't perceive, but God did. Only God has placed in you what you can do. Nobody else can do it for you. So don't be intimidated by what anyone says. Like Brother Hagin used to say, you have to become dead to censor or praise. Just do what God's called you to do, because you're the only one, or he's the only one you will stand before and answer to, not anybody else. People come and go. But we'll stand before the Lord one day, and he's already told me, you're going to hear well done, because I said, Lord, the only thing I want to hear from you is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And I know you do too. All right. Where did I stop? Okay. All right, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. You'd think the warriors would be the ones that were chosen, wouldn't you? No, the shepherd. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented him 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now from thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. You know the difference between the three and Daniel and David here. God exalted David. He is the lowliest in his father's house, and God raised him up, and he became king. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the Valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep of the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up, and that it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, which will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few small sheep in the wilderness? You know, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. Who do you think you are? Heard that before? We have. Well, when you got tired of wasting your time doing what you're doing, come out here. There's Eliab. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now have I done? Always in trouble no matter what he did. Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the same manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock and went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. One of the things the Lord did speak to me was this. When you accommodate the giant, the circumstances continue. Mm-hmm. When you face him head on, victory follows. And I'm not talking what your faith thinking is, faith indoctrination thinking. Just say it long enough, it'll happen. No, I'm talking about you speak a rhema. You speak a word from God that you have waited upon and you've gotten, and it knocks the giant out. It's just like that angel's throwing that stone, busting that skull of that giant. What David did, he was inspired by the Spirit of God to do. This natural army had nothing against this giant. They were afraid. And Saul armed David with his armor. Yeah, we know where that gets you. Gets you dead. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. David probably couldn't even move. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. What had David proven? The Holy Ghost would come on him, and he slew the lion and the bear. He proved it. It works every time. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about David and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He thought, man, you are sorry. This is the best you can do? You sent a child out here. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. There he is again, spouting his fear porn. To try to get you to listen and backtrack. Intimidation. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. He came to him with faith. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. What's the head represent? Authority. The giant didn't have any authority over David. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There's one thing about Joshua before he went into Jericho. The captain of the host showed up. What happened? He gave him the supernatural plan to go in and take Jericho. They followed it to the letter. What'd they do? They took Jericho. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. These are natural means, y'all. Our fleshly things that we try to do to get away from the giant. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. No, he didn't hide out in the foxhole. He ran towards the giant. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith, took out the authority. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what happened that day. Do you know when we accommodate the lies of the giant, accommodate him, we walk in the flesh? Don't we? We walk in the flesh. We run towards the giant, act like, did you hear something? Do you see something? Shake, shake. That's by the Spirit. All right. The giant was boastful and showy. The Israelites were dismayed and greatly afraid. David said, he, to the giant, you're nothing. He's nothing. I will fight him. I will go fight him. He's nothing. He'll be like the lion and the bear. David recounts how he killed both. And he said the giant would be just like one of them. No big deal. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, was his motto. David refused the natural armor, but says, God's delivered me from the lion and the bear. And he'll deliver me from this giant too. That's what he said. What is the difference between fear and faith? Your perception. What you see. Either what you see makes you afraid and you react in the flesh, or what you see causes faith to arise and you speak. Or ignore. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. All right. Perception means observation, mental image, or discernment. I need to read that again. Perception is observation, mental image, or discernment. One of these days, you are going to get the fact that what you're going through is all a ploy of the devil to keep you from all the greatness God has. You have to be proved. David proved it. The Israelites didn't. The Israelites ran for the foxhole, and David ran towards the giant. And religious folk is going to be jealous of that. His brother, you brat, what are you doing here? You smell so bad. Why don't you just get out of here? Nobody likes you. Nobody wants anything to do with you. You're wicked to even show up. You just want to watch the battle. Older brother. In other words, you don't fit into my mold, so you don't qualify. Don't let anybody disqualify you. When God's told you something, you hold on to it and don't you ever let go of it. Don't you ever let anybody talk you out of it, because they're liars and they don't have the right perspective or the right spirit to do that to you. In the body of Christ, we need to be encouraging each other in what we are called of God to do and linking up together and getting it done. That's the problem. All right, he stood against the giant and he did not run from the giant. All right, Ephesians 6. Maybe I won't have to teach on this again. Y'all get it today. I'll get it today. Just because I teach it don't mean I'm absolutely perfected in everything I teach. All right, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here comes the giant. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, not run, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Well, I've already killed the lion and the bear. This giant will just be like one of them. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is all to help you stand. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So Paul is telling you here how to stand. That's what it's all about. Pray in the Spirit and stand. And when you've done all to stand, just keep standing. Because eventually the devil will run. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you run, you get out old trusty means this and that. You'll get the results of that. You won't get the results of faith. But if you stand, you will. John 4:18. I think it's 1 John 4:18. Excuse me. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. So the opposite of love is fear. When we're secure in God and His love for us, there is no fear. Torment there means penal infliction. I put here prison. It also means punishment. That's what fear does. You know, we could just read, let's just read 1 John 4. It's really about this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, I would say this to you today. What brings peace? Stay where the peace stays. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. I'm telling you, if it brings fear, you know who it is. If it brings peace, you know who it is. Simple. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And the Lord showed us this year, 2024, love opens the door. Well, what are the closed doors? Where we haven't obtained victory. There's the closed doors. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You can't separate God from love. He is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that believeth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We have to believe his love for us. Herein is love made perfect, that ye may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If I say I love God and hateth his brother, if a man say I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The more united we get, and the more we get to the point that we are for each other in our differences, and we join hands together, kind of like the Lord saying, clasp your hands, all you people. We're clasping hands with these apostolic teams in the Spirit, in love. We're all different. Some of us believe different things. But the point is that we are united, and we're going to get things done for the kingdom. That's how it's going to be. All right. God is love, and it is his power, and then it becomes our power. Because his love's in us, right? What do you do to hide from your giants? I'm admonishing you today to stop doing whatever and anything, not to see the giant and the fear. Face the giant head on and ignore him. Because that's kind of the way the Lord's shown me when I'm experiencing something. If fear is there, I know exactly who it is. And you will too. If God gives you something to speak like he did David, then do it. I believe that this is delaying your total and complete victory. The reacting in the fear is keeping you going around the mountain again, or spinning your tail like a dog. All right, Acts chapter 28. You know, when Paul was on that ship, it's very evident there was a lot of fear, that the people were just scared. They were afraid they were not going to make it. But the angel stood by Paul and assured him, brought peace, and they made it to the island. But this is what happened right here, 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid it on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and saw that he was a god. He wasn't a god, he's a man. But he was a man thinking, you know, I just got visited by an angel on that ship saying I would stand before Caesar. And I'll be danged if this thing is going to stop me. And he just shook it off. I don't think for a minute they didn't feel it. I think he did. But he just went on about his business. Next thing you know, he's ministering to people on the island because they saw what God did through him. David had an inner picture of the dead lion and the dead bear. He saw the giant the same way. He was a victor, not a victim, like the armies of the Israelites. They had the grasshopper mentality. Let's look at it another way that we can accommodate the giants in our lives. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40. All right, I want to read verse 14 and 15 there. Now, this is the story of Joseph, and we all know what happened to Joseph and how his brothers were so mean and so cruel. And they sold him into Egypt, and he came down to Egypt, and here he is in Potiphar's house, and this skanky old woman was just dogging him day and night to sleep with him. And you know, he got accused falsely. He got thrown in the prison. So he'd been there a long time. I mean, let's think. He was probably about the same age as David, 17 or so. And so you could say he'd probably already been in Egypt 10, 11 years, something like that, when he got thrown into the prison. All right? Verse 14 and 15. Whenever he was in the jail, he saw the butler and the baker, and they were of sad countenance, and so he interpreted their dreams. But he did this thing right here, verse 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. What do y'all think about that? He had an organ recital. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He's trying to get out of that jail. He's trying to do everything he were in the world to get him out of there. Who sent him to the jail? God did. God was standing there. I'm going to prove it to you. All right. Genesis 37. Starting with verse 1 there. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old when he was feeding the flock and his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report, and he was a tattletale. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon, the 11 stars, made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. He said to him, here am I. And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, and see whether it is well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I have heard them say, let them go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels and bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brethren and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content." Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" In other words, you know, that he didn't know what they had done. But my point of this story is this. He receives God's mission for him through dreams. Stupid, told it the wrong people, nearly got him killed. But God delivered him. It says here, I'll come to it. But it says different places throughout the story that God was with him. This was by divine design. This whole story of Joseph and what he went through. He had to be able to be strong against all kinds of situations. Sexual pressure. Not trying to get out of things himself, but relying on God. See, it was 2 more years before he was taken out of the jail. When he stood before Pharaoh and interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh, and he exalted him. I don't have to read all the story. You know the story. But the point is, God was standing there. You think, why all this hardness? Why so long? I don't understand. One day you will. When you stand before Pharaoh, you will. You'll realize God did this by design. Why? Because he knows he has to be able to trust you with his power. With whatever he's called you to do, you've got to be strong. It took a very wise, strong man to deliver Egypt from the famine. Even Pharaoh said, "I'm a passing this to you. You got more knowledge than me. You got an inside track." God in this situation. So when you think, "I can't stand it here any longer," instead of trying to get yourself out of the situation, say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I figure that probably if he hadn't have said anything here, the butler would have gone straight to Pharaoh and Pharaoh would have called the jail. But God let him stew in his juice right here. Where was our reading? Okay. Over here. Let me find it. I think it's 40. Yeah, right here. This is the story of the two dreams that the butler and the baker, right there, 14 and 15 that I just read to you. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show thee kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me in this prison. Well, what happened? They went before Pharaoh. One was, you know, executed, basically, and the other one was restored. But right here, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. And 41:1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. That's when the butler remembered what Joseph had done. He took it upon himself to try to get out of it. I'm telling you, sometimes God is standing there, right here. I believe God is watching us. He is overseeing our training and observing how we act. When he saw Joseph trying desperately to get out of the prison to hide from the giant, the elephant in the room, he had to say, not quite ready yet. Let's give him a couple more years. You can read the rest of the story if you want to about all of that. He gets restitution from his wicked brothers, which is really pretty good too, the way they treated him. We must allow God to complete the work in us so we will be a success like David and like Joseph. Don't make no junk. He doesn't. God doesn't make any junk. That's why it takes so long to stew you and season you and all of these things that we're going to need to stand before our Pharaoh at the right time. It can delay the journey if we do not have the right perception. If we spend all our days just trying to hide from something or get free of something, then we do not have the right perception, and the fear will keep us in torment and wear us out. All the great men and women of the Bible had their giants to face. They either hid out and had delays, or they ran and faced their giant and received victory. Because really, when you do it right, God takes notice of that. Oh, they're closer. They're getting closer. They're getting closer to the point that I can actually separate them to do what I've called them to do. From the time you were born, God has put things in you. You know, I never realized that until our pastors, Helen and Joe Sproul, came out here and they had a ladies' meeting. And there was women everywhere, somebody's house, but it was a big house. And here I'm sitting on the sofa, and she turns to me and calls me out and starts speaking to me about my calling from my mother's womb and how the devil tried to take me out from my mother's womb. And I'm just going, whoa, you know, I never heard of this. I can't tell you what else she said. I wished it had been recorded. She didn't give anybody else a word, because that's why they were sent out here. Like I said, there's nothing else standing here from when they were here but us. Nobody else got a word that day. And I was blown away. I was going, wow. First inkling I ever had of anything. I knew I had things in me, but I didn't understand any more than probably Joseph understood. He was just telling his dreams. I've told dreams and said stuff to people and got rend from them for it, you know, not using wisdom. The things were there, but I didn't have the wisdom to use them like God wanted me to use them. You know, a loose cannon can hurt people, right? All right. Jesus prayed this for us. Let's go over to John. I hope you see what God is doing in your life from the right perspective. It will help you to make it through. Because just like in these stories, there is an end. John 17:14. He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That's when Jesus was getting ready to leave. You know, Jesus had his own giant to face, and he did. Right here, Luke 22. I can't even imagine. You talk about pressure that must have been on him. This is 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, see, he's like us. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And you know what happened? They all forsook him and fled. Every one of them. All right, if you read Hebrews 11, you will find a whole list of giant killers in there. Every one of them had to face their giants just as you face yours today. Fear causes us to hide. Faith causes us to rise. God is looking at how we respond to situations to see if he can trust us to do his will when our time comes. Just like going to school, you get to take the test over and over until you pass it. Hopefully, this today will help you to go from fear to faith so you can get to the next phase of God's plan for you. When you finally show forth the fruit of the warrior, then the Lord will call you and have an audience with you about the next step. One more story says it all. Daniel chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole story, just a few verses here. Starting with verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom ye serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments. Boy, they had a lot of clothes on. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So, will you run or will you stand?